You're listening to the Bets and Quotes podcast on whatever podcast platform you're listening to, son of a bitch.
Didn't Betts tweet that it's like $2,400?
Yeah, but does he know that for sure?
Well, he seems like the kind of guy who would do that.
Yeah.
He seems like the kind of guy who would investigate.
So he's smart.
Welcome to the Bets and Quotes podcast, a podcast for the rubes, by the rubes, talking all things Power Trip. Bets and Quotes is hosted by Chuck, better known as Power Trip Bets.
And why I love Chuck is that's exactly how I felt about the show, but I couldn't articulate it the way that he did.
And Dave, the one and only Power Trip Quotes.
Guy, he's going to get in there and just try to maul you.
They were going to get an apartment together and see how things went, but settled on a podcast instead. Our legal disclaimer is simply that Lawyer Lambert probably likes us better than you, so good luck suing us. We hope you enjoy this episode, but if not, feel free to play Jax on 494.
All right, Dave. Well, are we going to get to 2,400 for this billboard and keep hockey wrecked, or are we going to come up short?
I think we're going to get there. My new effort is to bring sports gambling into the scenario here. So every night I'm going to make a parlay and try to hit something big. And once it finally hits, I'm going to donate the proceeds to the fund to keep hockey wrecked. I'm going to try to do my part.
And keeping with my MO, I am going to bet against the Wolves, and every time they fail to cover the spread, I'm going to donate that money to the effort, which happened last night when the Bulls won dramatically in overtime, covering the spread and helping to keep hockey wrecked. So, yeah, we're still only at about 30. We're only about a third of the way there at this point. I think it's like 34 point something as of this recording. So we got a ways to go, and we're about less than a week. So I'm hoping that there's just been some rubes that they're kind of holding out, and they want to like pile it in at the end. Of course, you can Venmo me at PowerTripBets if you want to contribute to the fund, or DM me on Twitter, and I'll give you the information for PayPal as well. So,
you know, I think we should tag Mr. Biden on these tweets and see if we can get those stimulus checks to come in just a couple weeks early. And, you know, maybe our own tax dollars can help pay for this very pressing and urgent, you know, problem that we have here with our budget.
Definitely. And, you know, unless President Biden's administration is all about wanting to spread STDs in Minnesota, you know, come on, man.
Let's That's chip a pretty in a bad little. Look, Mr. Biden.
So, and speaking of bad looks, well, actually, it's not a bad look, but you're going to get your ass kicked in this pizza eating challenge by Bubba. But I give you credit for stepping up, because it was originally supposed to be Tommy O, and you stepped up to the challenge, and you're going to give it your best shot. What are your feelings? We're like, what, 2 weeks out from this? What are your feelings heading into the pizza eating challenge versus none other than Bubba?
Well, first, I'd just like to address your confidence in me with The Rock from WWF saying, "Shut up, bitch." So there's that. Now, this is kind of late breaking. I think it broke yesterday. Bubba did agree to give me an 8 slice spread here, so I will be plus 8 slices for the 30-minute challenge. I think that obviously is a benefactor for me. I don't want to lay out all my cards here unless he is listening. I will say that a good amount of fasting is going to be going on before it. The use of performance enhancing drugs will 100% be a part of it.
There's no testing on the 7th Avenue pizza circuit, as far as I'm aware.
If they are, I am in deep, deep trouble. But I'm going to be working out. I've been hitting the rower. I've been on the treadmill. I'm seriously. I'm gonna try to lose like 10 to 15 pounds. I'm gonna drink a ton of water every day, which I already do. I'm gonna chestnut this thing. I think me plus eight has a very good chance of winning. Yeah, especially on performance enhancing drugs. The sky is the limit.
There's a couple drugs that'll make you a little bit hungry, that's for sure. And in case Bubba is listening, off the record, Dave told me that his strategy is to eat one piece of pizza and hope you can't get to 10. So, yeah, so don't prepare to eat a whole lot, Bubba. You're only looking at like 8 or 9 pieces to win this thing. So
yes, don't worry about it.
Well, hopefully you win that. And switching over to our Patreon segment, you were actually the big winner last night at our Patreon happy hour, where I rolled out a new game that I came up with called Close Enough. And of all people, you were the champion of Close Enough on a tiebreaker, but you closed the gap on that. So that's a win in your pocket.
Yeah. It's kind of all coming up quotes right now, but yeah, no, Chuck, that was a really fun game, by the way. You know, if there's a way that you can Corey Cove this into, you know, a home edition, I think it really has legs. I don't know, man. I think it's a really good original idea from you. So
it was a lot of fun. And hopefully we'll play. I think we'll let the Patreon people vote for the next happy hour, whether they want to do initials or whether they want to play Close Enough again. I had fun. It was fun putting the clues together, and I thought I kept them somewhat related to the power trip for a few of them and stuff. So it was I failed to ask you, what did you think of the clues?
They were very good clues, Chuck. All very right. Good.
Good. I was a little bit concerned, but now I have confirmation. So if you want to join the gang over at Patreon, it's patreon.com/betsandquotes. You can join for as little as $1 a month. So, you know, you can take $1 and contribute it to Keep Hockey Wrecked. You can take $1 and be playing Close Enough the next time we play that. So head over to Patreon if you want to join in on that. All right, well, that will do it for all the prelim stuff. We've got lots of fun for you tonight. We're going to do a bets update. We're going to do the quotes of the week, of course. And then in your thoughts, we're going to do Rate That Impression. You put this together. You sent me the audio clips. And I enjoyed listening to it. That's all I'll say, editing the audio on that. And then we're going to go down memory lane with the John Olerud bit. Now, I'd be shocked if anybody listening to this hasn't heard the promos for the John Olerud bit, but I grabbed the whole thing, the whole segment, because they cut it up quite a bit for the promos and stuff. So we're going to do the whole thing, and that's from a listener request. So we do listen to our feedback here on the Bets and Quotes podcast.
We do?
So, once in a while. But yes, we got this request from a listener to do the John Olerud segment. So here we go with it. And then we're going to do quotes notes. And I hear the open is an original this week. So we'll have that to look forward to as well. But we'll start with always as a bet with a bets update.
Partridge. Partridge.
All right. Well, we're going to start by talking about Chris Hockey and Meat Sauce with all their NBA bets. These have been fun to follow. Chris had an unbelievable streak of NBA bets, and then that slowly fell apart, and he actually lost 3 in a row to Sauce, at which point we determined it was because Sauce was picking a side and Hawk was just taking the opposite. So the last bet they did, Hawk called his shot. He called over on the 231. Zach and Sauce both bet the under, and they both lost. And Hockey is back on the winning bandwagon by calling his shot, as it were. So I think if he calls his shot in the NBA, being the elite NBA mind that he is, and not just taking the opposite side, I think he's got a chance.
Yeah, he really did call his shot there. He finally got back on the bandwagon. It's good to see Chris winning NBA games that he doesn't watch or care about and finding out the result on Twitter from you. Yeah, that's probably my best part is when you tweet it out and he replies, "I did? I won?"
Oh, it's brilliant. And if in doubt, just bet against the Wolves. I think they're the second worst team against the money line bets in the NBA, which is not surprising at all when you're like, what, 7-27 now? So
yeah.
Ooh, wow. And now they lost Malik Beasley for like 12 games. So yeah, everything's coming up Timberwolves at this point. So
yeah, what, they're 14-17-1 against the spread.
Mm-hmm.
So not like terrible, but I mean, let's be honest, we're all fading the Wolves at this point.
100% fading the Wolves. And I did think it was funny. I tweeted out the other night because they named Finch the head coach, and immediately he's more favored than 8 other coaches to be the next NBA head coach fired. Hadn't even coached a game, and he's still like not the. You would think you'd have the longest leash as a brand new coach, but nope.
Right.
There are 8 guys safer than him without having coached a game. So.
Yeah, I heard PA this morning talk about run down to the Iowa border and check on, I forget the Wild's head coach name, Dean Ebison or whatever. He's like, run down there and check if it, you know, if it's 100-1, you know, throw some money down. I'd be running down to Iowa to check what it is to be the first NBA coach fired, being Mr. Atticus Finch.
Oh, boy. Wow. What a fun state the Timberwolves are in right now. Well, next up, I got two other things I want to talk about in the bets update. Sauce and Tommy have a bet. They bet on the Ohio State Gopher game that's taking place in September. Preemptively, 7 months ahead of time, said that, yep, we're putting $100 on this game. Sauce is taking Ohio State. Whatever the line is, that's what he's doing. So I thought that was brilliant that they're both so eager for football to start again that they've already bet on the Gophers Ohio State game.
Whatever the line is, just book it. I love that from Tommy. He's like, yeah, I'm going to take him anyways, so whatever.
Yeah, 100%. Might as well get the money down now and go with it. So I love it. We've got a college football bet on the books already. I love it. And the last bet I was going to talk about, since we were off last week, was the Daytona 500 bet. So I thought it was beautiful how, like, so many listeners got into the Daytona 500 simply because the Power Trip bet on it. I think there's so many people that wouldn't have watched it, wouldn't have cared, whatever. But it actually ended up being a pretty good scenario because, you know, with the weather delay and everything, it was actually on in prime time. And I ended up flipping it on myself and watched most of the end of the race there. And in the end, it was Corey that was leading in the final lap. And, you know, all the guys, like, everybody was kind of, like, right there. And it was really anybody's game at that point. Corey was leading, got rear-ended, and Sauce emerged with the victory. And as I told our Patreon listeners, if Sauce got paid every time Corey got rear-ended, he'd own a fleet of Teslas.
Genius. Oh, yeah. No, that was fun. I had some grease on Mr. Denny Hamlin myself, so I was very interested. I even put it out there. I was like, what the hell is a stage? You know, they have 3 stages or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck does this mean? Like, Denny keeps winning all these stages. Like, do I get any money for that?
No.
And then he gets 4 flat tires or whatever and comes in 8th, and I was just pissed, and he was like leading the whole race. But I was glad that Slowey Slogano didn't win the race, because Slowey sucks.
But yeah, it just goes to show too that whether it's your money on the line or the Power Trip's money on the line, I mean, people are gonna watch. Like, I can't imagine, like, the Wolves ratings are clearly higher because Hawk and Sauce have been betting on these games, because I see so many people tweeting about, you know, oh, Hawk's got a sweat, or oh, it looks like Hawk's gonna win this one. And yeah, so sports networks around the world, you are welcome for allowing us to bet on your various leagues. So, well, that will do it for the bets update. Let's do some quotes.
And now it's time for the quotes of the week.
I'd let Brett Favre be on me.
Sure. Ted Bundy's been to the Rose Bowl more recently than the Gophers.
Because it's hard to bang and play it at the same time.
Bang and lung darts, whale.
All right, friends, it is time to get to the quotes of the week. And we will start at number 3 with Chris Hockey.
Did you see that the astronomers observed the most distant object ever?
Yeah.
It's the Timberwolves' chance of making the playoffs.
Should we bet on what time Rose walks?
I wrote that joke. In case you just wondered.
So that one was what we call a paper quote, on better on paper quote, because that got a ton of traction on Twitter. And I got multiple responses from people saying, man, I was laughing my ass off in the car. I couldn't believe that nobody was laughing, or like nobody got the joke like right away. And yeah, I was definitely in that same scenario. That was just dynamite from Chris.
Well, I think it was like the setup where I think people thought it was going to be legitimate, and then when it was a joke, it took them like a few seconds to process it. And I think Corey's still slightly in denial at how awful the Wolves are, because I know it's his favorite team, but I mean, come on, let's be honest. Sauce has slowly crossed over to my side, where it's like, this team is a disaster. Just make money betting against them. And
but he still watches every game.
Yeah, he does. He does. I watch way more Timberwolves than I would if I wasn't making so much money off of them. But that's definitely my interest at this point, because the chances that we ever see a playoff game anytime soon are slim to none.
Very slim to none. We will go to move to number two, and it is Corey Cove.
Hang out with people that are less attractive than you and have a worse life.
And it works out.
And then you feel great about yourself. It's easy. It's simple.
Right. That's why we invited you, Mike.
Thank you.
We were tired of labor on Mondays.
Oh, that was really funny. That's why we invited you, Mus.
Oh, I love having Mus on the show. He is such a great addition.
I know.
And he's about perfect, because, you know, I think if Mus was on like once a week or something, you know, he'd run through a lot of his stories and stuff like that, and you know, he'd maybe just kind of sort of blend in and whatever. But Mus is like that, you know, like that once a month kind of guest that's just perfect, that like brings a totally different flavor to the morning when he's on the show.
Yeah, he's kind of like the older version of Tommy Olsen, but he still has that that spark plug. You know, he brings that spark to the show and kind of gives a different element. And yeah, I love Mus. They were talking about Chris was just on Mus's podcast the other day. I think those two doing a podcast would be absolutely dynamite. Just their two dynamics. They share a lot of the same interests. They're about the same age. I would definitely listen to that podcast.
So wait, you're telling me that there's somebody associated with iHeartMedia that has a podcast?
Yes. But Chuck, podcasts are very popular nowadays.
Really?
I think our dogs have a podcast together too. They just bark. They probably get better ratings than us. But
I just haven't seen any word about any other podcasts happening other than the Power Trip and the Power Trip After Party. So
especially two old farts, two old raisins talking about their stoner days.
That'll be me someday. All right.
All right. Let's move to number one, and it is Power Trip quote legend, John Kreisel.
I felt the best about just, like, I don't know. I would love to be 27 forever.
Not me. I was married to a monster.
Yeah. I don't know how he does it, but every year he's in the tournament with something related to his ex-wife being divorced, losing his legs. He does it every year. They're all different. Wow, that'll definitely be in the tournament.
I was married to a monster.
Well, there are your quotes of the week.
It's time for the weekly segment of Your Thoughts. Copyright Dark Star.
All right, well, first up, we're going to rate that impression. Dave, you put together tonight's rate that impression, so I'm going to let you drive.
I did. All right. It is time to rate that impression, brush. We will start. These are all going to be Chris Hockey impressions. I would say, I'd maybe say Corey is the best impressionist on the Power Trip Morning Show. But Chris has some very good ones. But we're going to run through five that we have not talked about or rated on this podcast yet. So we will start at number one with Mrs. Piggy.
Yes, and as a reminder to the listeners, because I know it can get a little bit confusing, we're going to play the real person's quote first and then Chris Hockey second. So in case you're confused while you're listening to it, and I know that can happen, it's the actual person first and Chris Hockey second.
because they both sound very similar, so I don't want to get anyone, you know, screwed up on that.
There's something you could do that would make moi very, very happy.
Oh, Kirby, come on over here. Look at that on the froggy knees.
Okay.
I'll go first on this one. The pitch is there. I will give him the pitch was right there, and the cadence was actually pretty good. I only understood about three words of what he said, but I will give that. We're doing, what are we doing? Are we doing meat ropes? Are we doing?
We're doing out of five meat ropes.
Five meat ropes. All right, because our scoring system changes pretty much every episode. I will give that 3.5 meat ropes.
3.5 meat ropes. Well, yeah, like you said, the pitch was there. I think he kind of mailed it in. I hesitated because I was about to say meat sauce, but he kind of mailed that one in a little bit. I think, you know, it's kind of like rating dives. You know, what they attempted to do and then what they actually did, you know, their potential score was this. So I think Hawk's potential score there was about a 3.8. But rating that actual impression, I'm going to go 2.7.
All right. That's fair.
All right. Well, let's move to the second impression, and it is John Rambo.
You know there's more men out there. You know where they are. Find them, or I'll find you.
I'll go to Target to see what you're doing. I'm going to go fish.
Oh, my God.
It's kind of – so I go first here. So it's kind of reminiscent of his Nicolas Cage impression. Independence. It's like he got shot by that dart gun in Old School. He's like, there's a dart in your neck, man. Yeah. He just kind of like lazily says it. not his best impression. I will give it 2.5 meat ropes.
Legitimately, I'm going to play his part again. Legitimately, this is a better Boomhauer from King of the Hill impression than it is Rambo.
I'm going to take it to see what she's killing. I'm going to go fish.
I'm just waiting for Hank Hill to jump in there and say, Boomhauer, you dumbass. But yeah.
I will say it doesn't, you know, he might get an extra 10th or 2/10 on my score just because it doesn't sound or resemble like Ricky Rubio.
I was going to say it's definitely like an original, and he didn't like fall back on one of his like standard impressions that he falls into. So yeah, I'm going to go 2.25 meat ropes on that one. Not his best, but you know, it's doable. If I had understood a single word, I might've gotten him up to 3. We'll see.
Okay. That's very fair. Okay. Let's move to our third of the five impressions here, and we will go with wrestling legend, Macho Man Randy Savage.
Let me say it out loud, and let me point to the president of the World Wrestling Federation. The Macho Man Randy Savage is not happy with your decision, yeah.
Savage. Oh, that's not dynamite, bitch. That's my Slim Jim.
All right, Chuck, you will go first on this one.
Okay, absolutely brilliant. Nailed it. And I love how he starts with the ooh. That was perfect. 4.75 meat ropes out of 5. Almost perfection.
Wow. That is a very high score. Okay. I thought it was very good. I think if you've watched this, you know, the very famous Scary Terry.
It's not my apartment, bitch. or give me my pants back, bitch.
It's kind of got some Scary Terry to it. Really, I mean, it's a very good impression of the Macho Man himself. So I'm going to go 4.1.
Nice. Yep. Very, very, very credible. Very good score there.
All right. Let's move to our fourth impression here. And it is Dobby the House Elf from Harry Potter.
Dobby heard Creature mention Harry Potter's name. And then Dobby saw Creature talking with the thief, Mount Douglas.
I'm Dobnik the household.
Dobnik.
Yes.
What have you seen lately?
I saw him Charmed.
Yeah, oh, yeah?
Did. Yeah.
Okay. I'll go first. Obviously, he is a Harry Potter guy like I am myself. So he is very familiar with the voice of Dobby. In fact, he even has a doll that he picked up at Harry Potter World in Florida of Dobby. So he should be very familiar with the voice. The problem for me here is there's three different pitches in Dobby's voice here. He starts kind of high, comes down low, and then finishes kind of on a weird note. I think where it's clipped, it kind of goes against them. It kind of leaves a bad taste on your tongue. But still very solid overall, and the cadence is pretty good. I'm going to go 3.3 meat ropes.
All right, yeah, that's the same neighborhood I was in. I felt like, you know, the pitch was there again. You know, I would have liked to have heard a little bit more of it. I think he was kind of going like one or two words at a time there. So, yeah, I think 3.3 meat ropes is a really good score, and I'm going to go 3.3 myself.
3.3, okay, wow. Okay, we are on to our fifth and final impression here from Kurosaki. And this is a special one. This is the first dual impression. So there's two impressions here in one. And it is Dolph Lundgren and Rocky Balboa from Rocky IV.
I see a lot of people hating me, and I didn't know what to feel about that, so I guess I didn't like you much none either.
He dies.
Go back and forth. Do your Stallone and Lundgren at the same time.
I don't know. You gotta do it. You gotta fight.
I must break you.
Yeah. Enough. If I hated you and you hated me, but then in a fight, you like me and I kind of like you.
I love that in Hockey's impression, the foreign guy is easier to understand than the American guy.
Right?
Oh my God. You know, the back and forth thing is hard to do. One of the most brilliant is when you see people that can do like it's kind of like when you watch Hank Azaria on a talk show and he'll go back and forth doing both the Burns and yes. the Smithers voice at the same time, which is just unbelievable to do. But that's the level of difficulties there. And, you know, the voices aren't that far off. Now, obviously, Sylvester Stallone we heard earlier and, you know, not his best, but not horrible. It's more Boomhauer than it is Sylvester Stallone. But, you know, he got the little dolphin there. I liked it. I'm going to go 3.75.
Yeah, so, you know, Corey's asked him to do a lot here, to go back and forth between two impressions. Now, in this, you know, hypothetical scenario, they've both been hit in the face so many times. And, you know, they're very tired. So kind of the same pitch is there. So the difficulty was high here. I'm going to go 4, a flat 4 overall. I really think he nailed Rocky better. But, yeah, I think overall it was just very good.
All right. Well, overall, I think this is probably if you blended took a blended score of all our ratings, I think this is probably one of the higher ratings Chris has ever gotten.
It really is. Yeah, these were 5 really good ones. I could have Miss Piggy was a little bad, but let's just say I have like 47 more to go through unique impressions. So this spreadsheet is just very long.
Corey gets the quality, he gets the quantity for sure.
That's for sure.
All right. Well, we're talking about Corey, talking about hockey. It's time to talk about sauce. Like I mentioned in the open, this was a listener request. I had this on our board as one of our future episodes that we were going to play this bit, but came in as a request, so we're going to do it now. It's the John Olerud bit. You guys have, I'm sure everybody's heard the liner that they did, you know, the whole "Where's My Helmet" thing. But I went ahead and grabbed the whole entire segment of this, and it really came out of Chris saw a guy on TV wearing a helmet in a post-game interview and was kind of confused by it. and it led into the whole "Where's My Helmet" routine with John Olerud.
Why was David Ortiz wearing a helmet in the postgame?
His horny level was too high.
Seriously, do you guys know?
I don't know. I think that's his bit, like a riot helmet.
Okay, sorry. Back to you.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Are you serious, Clark?
He's wearing what looks like a half shell motorcycle helmet with goggles on top.
John Olerud?
I don't know.
You don't even know what I'm talking about, do you?
No.
Yeah, that's all right.
Is he a basketball player?
No.
John Olerud had to wear a helmet because he had a soft spot in his head.
Nailed it.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Is John Olerud a basketball player?
Why would a basketball player have to wear a helmet?
I have no idea. Oh my gosh. which is more proof that like his quote that made it to the finals last year was so genius about hey, and I'm on the number one sports radio station.
Yes.
So brilliant. Well, so that was the setup. David Ortiz was the player that was wearing the helmet and it confused him. And Corey and Sauce definitely knew the story about John Olerud. And Sauce started getting into John Olerud always wearing a helmet.
He always wore a helmet. First base, when he batted, when he got it on, when he went to XXX Theaters and showed it who's king, when he was in those headbutting contests, and especially when he met up with Mister. And the one time him and Pee Wee held hands at the theater, but they were really Dutch ruddering each other.
Pee Wee, knock it off!
Were they churning butter?
Oh, yeah.
They were?
They were starting fires.
I love the little sound effect at the end.
I think if you can listen very closely, you can hear his neck move as he turns his head to the window of inspiration to keep that bit alive. You know, when he goes for the great line in there is, you know, he's wearing his helmet while he's getting it on in the bedroom. And, you know, like, that's just hilarious. So I think the window of inspiration was definitely in play when this happened.
Oh, definitely. And what I loved about it too is he just kept, you know, what I love about Sauce's bit, because a lot of times with Corey and hockey, like, they'll latch on to something and then they'll just kind of beat that into the ground. What I love about Sauce is it just sort of evolves, and it starts with like this little kernel of an idea, and then it just sort of evolves, which is, I think, how they really came up with the hanging Sauce out to dry bit, because, you know, just let him go. We'll see where he goes with it, because it's just kind of like, on-air production meeting here, and let's see where we get to. So with this one, Sauce went lots of places with it.
Okay, I've gone
too. I wonder how long he could have gone if we hadn't said anything. How long he could have gone with what John Olerud does with his helmet on.
When he goes spelunking with his helmet. And he goes deep sea diving. Can't go in the water. I need my helmet. It's going to fall off the second you go in the water. I know, but I need it. I have a soft spot on my head.
This is the worst improv ever.
But everybody get on the plane. Hang on. I need my helmet. We're just touring the plane. I know, but I need my helmet. What? Welcome to the scene of a porno.
They have a welcomer. Like at Walmart.
I need my helmet. Why? Stuff flies in these things. I might get hit.
I've seen that guy before. It's like a hailstorm.
Oh my God! Welcome to the scene of porno.
Oh, so I think this is a perfect example of why the three of them make such a great duo and why they're so popular. You know, Hawk maybe has ignorance or finds the story that kind of sets the table for it. Sauce is there for the humor, and Corey likes to question things and kind of brings up, because if he doesn't say, I wonder if we would have gave him some more time, what other scenarios we could have found out that Misas thinks that he still wore a helmet in. And that, you know, re-sparks it and re-triggers it, and it makes it even better. It's like, you can kind of see just in this, you know, 5 or 6 year old clip or whatever, it's like you can kind of see how those three different personalities and how they gel and can make something so funny.
Oh, absolutely. And when Corey says they have a welcomer about the
What porno scene has a welcomer?
That's just brilliant. And all, and of course, it, like we always talk about, it's theater of the mind. And like as soon as he said that, like I'm picturing some guy like either like in a suit or a tuxedo wearing a hat, like welcome to the scene of a porno,
Yeah. I'm thinking like the Walmart like entryway, that old geezer that's sitting there gets paid in popcorn and hot dogs at the concession stand to be a greeter, but yeah, lucky.
Oh yeah, well, Sauce had even more locations for John Olerud to show up with his helmet.
Welcome to Oz. Where's my helmet?
The hell did you do that for? Yes. In case the scarecrow trips. Bastard can't even stand up straight. Doesn't even have a brain. Of course he'll trip me. He needs a helmet too.
Welcome to the state fair.
Mr. Olerud, welcome. Get my helmet. What do you mean? I need my helmet. There's large people here that don't have coordination. They might fall on me. A lot of them with big underboob sweat. Where's my helmet? Welcome to Wonka's factory. Where's my helmet?
I mean this in the nicest possible way. You should just leave. I'm being serious. That's as good as it's going to get. We should all just leave. What's the difference?
It doesn't matter.
Perfect ending.
We should all just leave.
Welcome to the state fair. Now you do need a helmet at the state fair. There's lots of potential for mischief there if you've got a soft cranium.
Well, and like helmet nachos.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Helmet nachos bang so hard.
Oh, yeah. I've got my kid convinced now, too. Anything you eat out of a helmet, like if I pop popcorn at home, he will, instead of putting it in a regular bowl, he will ask me to put it in like this Royals helmet that we got at one of the games here. So, yeah. Anything out of a helmet is better. I don't know if you were old enough to remember, but like Dairy Queen used to do the helmet, like Sunday helmets, and so you they put like your hot fudge sundae in a baseball helmet. Oh my son of a bitch, those were good.
I think I still have some at my parents' house. Like got some Minnesota Twins ones, and I think they did some other Major League Baseball teams, but I know I have a ton of those.
Such a brilliant bit. Well. Speaking of the Minnesota Twins, they were part of the inspiration. I decided to do the quotes notes open this week. Just some of my passions came out about Minnesota sports, and all I gotta say, Dave, is stay close to the dump button.
Oh.
I'm in love with Kaprasov. We're gonna win the Stanley Cup, but I forget that when the playoffs hit, that the Wild just go to shit. Zimmer needs a new OC, but he would never hire me. The thing I lack that will paint it black is the last name of Kubiak. And there's nothing wrong with me, I'm not the one who took a knee. That was all on Denny. We're screwed beyond belief. Wolves finally got the top pick, but we're coaching from the son of Flip. The best you'll get, if you don't know yet, is a Wolves season under bet. Bonus says the Twins are great. Playoffs are a save the date, but I know our fate. By October 8th, we'll have lost in 21 straight. And there's nothing wrong with me. This is how I'm supposed to be. Well, I guess that's all she wrote. It's time for quotes, notes.
Sports!
Sports, yes.
That was good. Green Day.
Reminds me of the frustrations with all four teams, that's for sure.
Oh man, I mean, I think we could make a ton more songs of all of our pain and misery from Minnesota sports teams. So,
plus, I've been playing "Jesus of Suburbia" so much as bumper music that it got stuck in my head, and I started like putting lyrics to it, and I'm like, yeah, there's the whole song's like 9.5 minutes long. I could do the whole damn thing with
that's true
with Minnesota sports disappointments. I limited it to 1.5 minutes just for the ears of our listeners.
Corey doesn't believe in Jesus. Okay, let's go. It's quotes notes. First off, Kesha Wales. This is from 2 weeks ago because we were off last week. But I love John Creasel and Zach were singing a duet of TikTok on that Friday. That song bangs. I sadly know every word to that song as well, so maybe we can do a trio at some point, maybe in Vegas.
It's not the worst. It's not the worst. Listening to to a bunch of white guys sit around and sing that, yeah, okay.
In 2011, that was a banger. Next up, AJ brought up... And it's a great suggestion. Smitty needs to give Zach math tutoring. I mean, White Bear Math, and we have a buddy of ours who is a math teacher. I think it would be great for, you know, it could be even posted to KFN.com.
Yes, the lessons. Yeah, there's so many times because, like, between, you know, gambling and odds and numbers and stuff like that, when they're trying to figure out numbers on the air, and it's just like nails on a chalkboard to me. I'm like, come on, grab a calculator, do something. So yeah.
Yes. Okay, this is from a couple weeks ago too. They're talking about a number of the blue bloods for NCAA basketball are down this year and might not make the tournament, and Corey questioned whether the Kansas Jayhawks will make the tournament. Well, Corey, you son of a bitch, they will make the tournament. They're playing better, but they were knocked out of the top 25 for the first time since I graduated high school there. Granted, it was just for a week, but I think they're deep. I trust Bill Self. Nobody cares. Kansas Jayhawks basketball till I die. Next, the game of hearts bangs.
Oh, yes.
I love hearts. It's one of my favorite games to play. Probably played it even more than I played solitaire back when I had, like, you know, when you had your first laptop and you're just like, okay, internet, okay, we're games. And, you know, you had like Minesweeper and solitaire and hearts. And I definitely picked hearts first.
Oh yeah, I would love to get like a high stakes game of hearts going, man. Ooh. Because I kick ass at hearts, and that's one of those. I can't tell you the number of games I played on plane flights before like internet Wi-Fi on planes was a big thing, and it's like you were reliant on whatever was on your phone without Wi-Fi, and it was like, yeah, I have played like thousands of games of hearts, and yeah, I'm a pro. I can block people from shooting the moon. I can shoot the moon. I'm like, yeah, I will go head to head with anyone.
You sloughing son of a bitch. next up, Chuck, we got some big news. Teams, watch out, because we have a team in the Hammer Lambert Open on June 7th at Golden Valley. I think we're going to win, right?
Not if you're relying on me, but you are an elite golf mind, so hopefully you can get us there. And you've played the course before, so you're going to have some course knowledge, which will be helpful since I have not played there. So, yes, looking very, very forward to that. And I'm glad you agreed to my my team name of the Houdinis.
Yes, yes. Watch out for the Houdinis.
we'll be doing all sorts of tricks.
We should get like bucket hats made with a logo and it says the Houdinis on it or something like that. That'd be fire.
Oh, that would be brilliant. Yes, it's a great cause. Like hammer homes are absolutely brilliant, and I'm a huge supporter of that. And it's like, even if I suck or whatever, we're still going to have a great time. Oh, yeah. It's going to raise a lot of money for an awesome cause.
Oh yeah, it doesn't matter about winning. It's just gonna be fun, and you know, for me in the agriculture market, it's tough to get off on a Monday in the summer. But this is a good enough cause to drop everything and head out there. So I think there's a couple of spots open, possibly maybe by the time this drops, it's all filled because it's going fast. But if you haven't already, just get on it right away and get your foursome set up.
Absolutely.
We talked about it earlier, but I'm going to be making my competitive eating debut. So it's Monday, March 15th at 7 o'clock at Golf Zone in Chaska, sponsored by 7th Avenue Pizza. And I will be taking on Bubba from 10,000 Takes. Yeah, this is going to be an ongoing topic here. I'm going to just throw out there, if people have strategy ideas, you know, maybe some tapes I can listen to for meditation. You know, also, I need someone who's good at One Bad Llama can do this. I need the scene of the miracle speech from Herb Brooks from the movie where if they play him 10 times, they might win 9, but not this one. And Herb Brooks can still be Herb Brooks. And then, like, my face is all the players in the locker room or something. And there's, like, pizzas involved. You could dub in, like, they might lose, like, 9 out of every, like, eating competition instead of games or something like that. So definitely looking for someone to help me out with that. But, I'm going to need a ton of motivation and a ton of marijuana. But I think I can compete pretty well.
And if anybody's looking for some grease on it or whatever, I'm happy to be a middleman and try and hook some people up on bets. So let me know if you want to bet on Bubba minus 8 slices, or you want to bet on Dave plus 8 slices. And I set an over-under for the total number of slices consumed between the two guys at 40.5. So if you want action on the over-under, let me know. I might be able to hook you. I'll be the Better Edge app of the competitive eating contest. That'll be my contribution.
I was going to say you should talk to Jack over at 10,000 Takes, because I bet on – Bubba's done a bunch of eating challenges before, live streamed, and I've actually bet on him. And Jack over there, the boss man, as they call him, over at 10,000 Takes, he takes some action. And I think I bet at least like $30 in total on some of these Bubba challenges,
nice.
Which he always quits.
Has he ever done one with like cold stuff, like ice cream or malts or anything like that?
He hasn't. No, it's mostly been hot food.
Okay, see, that's where my advantage is I like that. We need to get like the Honey and Mackey's challenge going, sponsored by Honey and Mackey's, and see how many pints somebody can knock out, because I do really good with cold foods. So I would be willing to take on some competitors in a Honey and Mackey's ice cream eating challenge.
Yeah, I would literally have to go to the hospital because I'm lactose intolerant. But that sounds like a fun challenge.
Absolutely.
Next up. Oh, God damn it. Corey hung up on Steve from Rosemont.
I know.
On Wednesday during Duo Decades. I literally, like, smashed my dash. I'm like, come on, man. He's always in. Like, it's the bit.
I did think it was – I mean, I thought it was a really, really funny thing that Corey did. But at the end of the day, it was like, I can't believe you actually hung up on it. But it was funny, though, because Corey's like, ah, screw it. I'm hanging up on him. And just moved on to the next guy. And it was like, all right, there we go. So.
So great. Steve, now we don't actually know who Steve from Rosemount is.
We don't.
But if by chance Steve from Rosemount listens to this podcast, please contact me, DM me on Twitter. We need to have like a sit down like episode with you and just break down how it's mathematically possible for you to be in, and how in touch with music you are to be able to vote on these Duel of the Decades. But yeah, wow, it just blows my mind every time.
And why haven't you gotten through on the initials game on Friday for your shot at $20,500 this week? I'm like, I
don't know.
And I have, like, I'm going to be so pissed because I know, like, I have analyzed and studied Power Trip Initials Big Board, And I know the set of initials that I like, it's the same one. I would use it every single week. And I know it's coming up like in the next, like probably 5 or 10 weeks. And I'm going to be so damn pissed when it hits and I'm not the guy that called in. So I keep trying.
If it's 6-9, I'm going to be so pissed.
Oh, yeah. So I keep trying. I want to get through. I want to get through so badly because I said jokingly, anything below 10,000, I would have guessed XX. But yeah, now this is real money. We're above $20,000. This is definitely not something to screw around with. So yeah. And, yes, I should hermetically seal my initials and send them to you, Dave, so you know, so I can say yes. I told you so. But
write me a letter and I'll keep the envelope sealed
until it hits, and I'll be like, open that damn letter! Yeah. I told you,
son of a bitch. time for one more. This was just at the end here. Since you've been gone by, as Sauce says, Sinead O'Connor, is a top five song of all time. I'm working on a quotes notes open for it. Oh my God. It is just a banger. Tell me you like it, Chuck.
Like nothing compares to you or since you've been gone.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Nothing compares to you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, see, I am the Power Trip quotes translator. See, I'm
you are.
I'm definitely the Corey of this podcast, and you're definitely the Sauce because I knew what you meant, and I'm like, but yeah, that's not the right song. No, Nothing Compares to You is like the only song from her that there. She's got a couple other songs, more obscure ones that I like, but
has other songs.
But yeah, Nothing Compares to You is a great song. You know who wrote that, don't you?
Ernest Hemingway.
Ernest Hemingway. No, I'm pretty sure it was Prince, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think Corey or Hawk said it the other day.
Yeah. So.
Just that, since you gave my love away. Just the, like, it sounds very Prince-y. It really does when I think about it. But yeah, working on quotes notes open for that, because that's going to be fire.
Have you ever seen the video for Nothing Compares to You? It's the most boring video of all time.
Really?
Yeah, it's just her. It's just like her from about like the neck
is
up.
Is she hot?
Hawk would, but yeah.
that says a lot.
It's questionable.
Is she hot?
She's
Hawk
got really.
Would.
She's not. Okay. She's not. Bald in the video, she's got like the really, really, really like the buzz cut going on. So
she's got like the Dido look.
Yeah, you know what? We got to do this is like the live reaction kind of thing. Pull it up. Just Nothing Compares to You. Go to videos. Pull it up. I want to get because you'll see it right away because it's like the first thing that comes up.
Okay. Here we go. Hold up. Nothing Compares to You. Okay. Looks like a park setting here. Oh, this is graceful.
It's so boring. It's the most boring. It's a great song, but God, it's boring.
She definitely doesn't have a lot of hair, but her face is very symmetrical, and scientists have said that a symmetrical face really makes someone attractive. So she's very attractive.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, your description was why Phil Hartman on Saturday Night Live, when Jan Hooks portrayed her, said, cue ball. I'm looking at you thinking cue ball, corner pocket.
Hey, that is mean. She's a beautiful young lady. Sinead O'Connor, if you are out there and you want to go on a date, or just maybe, you know, go down to the local pool hall. Or
are you engaged?
Skip some rocks. Well, I mean, just as friends. Like, come on.
You're going to give up your whole engagement for a cue ball.
I could just sing the low parts of the song.
Well, we'll definitely have to use it for a quotes notes open if you get Sinead to go on a date with you. Yes.
Yes. Okay. That sounds good. Well, that's it for quotes notes. Wow, that got off the rails. We're doing a live reaction video. Nothing compares to you. Okay.
That's just a preview of the 2-hour We Are the World podcast that we will eventually do someday when we can actually be in the same place at the same time. So that's talk about off the rails. That one's going completely off the rails. So. All right. Well, that will bring the show to a dramatic close. That's for sure. Yes.
Should I give my Enfuego Liga MX play of the week?
Oh, sure. Why not?
It of course lost last week, but
of course
I'm going to go. This is Saturday at 7:00. Club America Moneyline +105. I love Club America. They have really cool jerseys. Go, Club America.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, when people lose their money this Saturday, where can they find you at to track you down?
You can hunt me down on Twitter or Instagram at PowerTripQuotes.
All right. I'm, of course, at PowerTripBets. Thanks for listening. Keep those donations coming. Let's keep Hawk erect. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Bets and Quotes podcast. Be sure to give us a rating on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. And if you think we're hideous, please lie.